Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
So we've been, over the past couple weeks or so, exploring the whole area of the new wineskin that Jesus spoke of, how he used that analogy to really give us a better understanding of what it looks like, what he intended, you know, for his people, for his body, when we gather together. We have covered a lot of ground, and I certainly hope that it's been challenging and encouraging at the same time, so that, you know, as you think about shifting with the Lord from what we have all gotten very used to over the years of a kind of a pre-packaged, pre-programmed kind of a method of meeting, which we, you know, understand to be the normal kind of church service, into this dynamic, interactive flow where everybody is participating, everybody, you know, is sharing whatever it is that you are giving or what the Lord's giving you to share. And so that kind of a, you know, of a gathering, obviously, is so critical that we embrace that and just begin to practice it to whatever ability that we have. But even with that, right, there's a bigger vision that the Lord has for this. You know, the idea that we're going to have these little, you know, kind of impromptu pop-up gatherings, or even if they're scheduled on a regular basis, is wonderful, and that's going to multiply. But when I was, you know, really engaged in hearing from the Lord about this, as I say, it was about 10 or so years ago, he gave me a bigger picture of what he wants for the church worldwide and what that could look like if we all were on the same page, so to speak. And that is just such an exciting thought, to come to that place of saying, wow, what would it look like? What would it be like if the majority of the body of Christ was all in one accord, you know, even as they experienced back in the first century? Well, we're in the 21st century, and it's my belief the Lord is wanting to restore us to that kind of unity. So he really began to open my eyes to what he wanted with regard to a more regional approach, right? That there's this ability that we have as we begin to embrace his new wineskin, of actually creating something where a even larger number of people could come together in this way and enjoy something of what he wants to do on a larger scale. So let me go a little deep with you here as we start out. There's a very interesting passage in Colossians chapter 1 where Paul is just extolling the nature and the characteristics of Christ. So verses 15 through 18. And I encourage you to read that, Colossians 1, 15 to 18. What I want to just focus on with you for a moment is verse 18, where it says that he, Jesus, is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. The Bible here, God's word, is telling us that Jesus is meant to be first in everything. Okay, that means anything with respect to the church, with the body of Christ, Jesus is to have first place, preeminence in all, right? That means, yes, he's the first one we think of. He's the first one we connect with. He's the first one who has the right to determine what the body of Christ is supposed to do whenever and wherever, right? First place. And in that, the Father has spoken, and this is out of Philippians chapter 2, he says that when Jesus has first place in everything, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. So these are the big picture kind of understandings that he wants for us to have, so that we see that whatever we do, you know, individually or in a small way, having our little gatherings, it's part of a much bigger plan where he wants to have the entire earth come under his lordship, right? And so his desire was even expressed in John chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus said, "When I'm lifted up, I, he says, will draw all men to myself." So our responsibility, right, is to make sure that Jesus is continued, you know, to be lifted up, right? That he continues to have that first place, that rightful first place as Lord and head over his body, the church, right? And when we experience that, when we have that value for his headship, his first place, it's there where we will begin to experience what Jesus prayed for in John 17. I'm tying together a lot of scriptures here for you. When Jesus prayed that we would all be one, even as he and the Father are one, he is saying that needs to happen and that will happen here on this earth. So, and I love how he phrases it. He says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one." Well, what is that glory? The glory that Jesus had while he was here on the earth was his intimacy with Father, his empowerment by Holy Spirit, right? That oneness that he enjoyed with the Father, that's the glory. That's the glory of any human being. And that's the glory, he says, we have been given as well. And as we grow up into that reality, we will more and more recognize how foolish it is to divide over issues that are so minor, so secondary, when we all have Jesus to gather around and to be one around. There's no substitute, right? Come on. That's where he's taking the church worldwide. So in the history of the church, we see in the book of Acts that they did experience this one accord, you know, in different times. It wasn't obviously continual, but they experienced it. We're going to have that. We're going back, but we're also going forward, because what we will have will, I believe, exceed even what they had back in the first century. So because they simply gathered around the presence of Jesus, you know, through the Holy Spirit, it was so easy for them to stay in one accord. And that's what we're going to discover, that the primacy, the preeminence of Christ in our lives becomes such a compelling value and a motivator that it's not going to matter if we don't agree on every little thing in the Bible, because we do agree on what really matters, which is Christ and what he's done for us through his blood, right? So as I was, you know, hearing these things from the Lord, he showed me seven, I guess you could call them objectives, seven goals, what he wants, seven things that are so important to him that we are going to be experiencing on a greater scale as the Lord leads us together toward the fulfillment of his heart's desire for the church. So the first one, of course, is worship, is just knowing that when we are gathered together, and even when we're you know, by ourselves, there's no higher value, I guess you could say, no higher value than worship, than knowing that we are welcome in his presence 24/7, and to engage with him in that intimacy, in worship, where we are really worshiping him as he wants to be worshiped. Have you ever thought about that? Lord, how do you want me to worship you? How do you want us, as we gather together, to worship you, right? Listen, if he was so detailed to the Israelites under the old covenant in terms of how he wanted them to worship him, he hasn't changed. He doesn't change. He has very specific ideas about how he wants to be worshiped. And under the new covenant, we don't need a whole list of regulations to tell us what to do. We just simply ask and do whatever he asks of us. I would love for you today to just move about the room gracefully with your hands raised up and allow my spirit to move you in a new way in your worship of me. Now, for people like me who have two left feet, that's a challenge, but I'll do it. And I have, you know, and there are times when he'll ask us to do things outside of our comfort zone. But if our value for worship is where it ought to be, as the most important thing that I can do to express my love to the Lord, I'll do whatever he asks me to. No questions, right? So that's the first one. The second one is, of course, the unity that he has prayed and prophesied. We've got to recognize how important that is to him. Think about it. He compared it to the unity that he experienced with the Father while here on the earth. He says, we have that as well. That is the reality for us in the spirit realm. We are already one in Christ. We're one with him and one with each other. It's something that you can't deny. You cannot walk away from it. You can try, but it's still true in the spirit realm. So having the value for that, in other words, Lord, I want to be part of that. I want to do whatever is necessary so that when, you know, you begin to assemble larger and larger gatherings of your people, you know, and I'm talking stadiums becoming filled with the body of Christ, where, can you just picture that, where the worship goes up in this cacophonous symphony of sound, you know, where we're all just releasing our love to him. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal, but there's going to have to be a value for unity. So that I can sit next to, you know, someone from a different stream, a different denomination, and not get all freaked out because they don't believe everything that I do. Okay? We all gathered together around Christ. That's all that matters, right? That's important. Then the third of these is the value for experiencing his presence. That means we're done with ritual. We're done with form. If we're not engaging with him individually and corporately, we've missed it. I'm sorry, we've missed it. He's the one that said, where two or three gather in my name, I will show up. Now, that's just not some nice idea. That's a reality. That's a spiritual reality. And so when we experience him and have that as our goal, Lord, we're here for you. We're here because we want to experience more of you. We don't want to experience another person, you know, another human. You can use people, Lord, and thank God you do, but we're really here for you. Okay? That's what he's after, and that's where he's taking us. You know, Jesus said in John 17, he prayed something very powerful. He prays, this is eternal life, that they may know you. And that knowledge is not just head knowledge, it's experiencing him. So again, very important. The fourth thing that the Lord is going to do as we begin to come together in these larger numbers, he is going to increase our authority to legislate as the ecclesia. Now, we do this in our little gatherings of, you know, of half a dozen or so, and whenever we are able to do that, we will ask the Lord, what is it that you want us to declare from your heart, right? Give us that revelation, and we'll do that. We'll pray and we'll declare whatever it is that the Lord is showing us. Now, I don't know what impact that's having in the spirit realm. I believe it is. It's having impact because that's what the ecclesia is all about. If you remember, Jesus, he absolutely redeemed that word. He borrowed it and redeemed it from Greek culture because it's all about how a particular town or region, the citizens would come together on a regular basis to discuss and debate and decide on policy, on laws that needed to be passed, on things that needed to be handled in that city or in that region. And so it's a decision-making body that has authority. Well, think of it this way. If we had a few thousand people gathering together, waiting on the Lord, encountering Him, hearing from Him, this is my desire for your state, for your region. Lord, we agree, and in the name of Jesus, we declare, we decree that this is the will of the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done now, here on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's where he's taking us. I believe it with all my heart. We see a kind of a foretaste of this in Acts chapter 4, when they all begin to pray after Peter and John are released from jail, and they gather together and they begin to pray and declare, and it says that the whole place was shaken by the power of God, by the presence of God. That's a picture of the kind of foundational authority that we actually possess, but have yet to fully move in and operate in. But this is where He's taking us. We need to come into agreement with Him on that basis, so that as He helps us to you know, initiate these larger gatherings, we'll know what one of the major purposes is, and that is to declare His will. Another area that we are also going to see more and more in gatherings is a manifestation of the power of God, right? We know that when Jesus was here, He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and He demonstrated the reality of that by all the miracles, the healings and the deliverances and, you know, multiplying food and raising the dead, all these different things that we understand. He was the one that said, you're going to do these works and even greater, greater works than these. Well, personally, I believe that the greater works are going to be seen as we have that larger gathering of the body of Christ, of the ecclesia, and we begin to make declarations over problems and situations and whatever, and we see the will of God manifesting in the earth because of that level of unity and agreement that we have over that particular area and that particular situation. So the signs and wonders that happened in the book of Acts, right? We're in Acts chapter 5, where it talks about how Peter with his shadow, talking about people coming, being brought who are sick and afflicted with unclean spirits. And it says that they were all being healed. We're supposed to be the solution. You know what? This virus that has been ravaging so many people, we're supposed to be the answer to the virus. Now, I don't say that to be judgmental or critical. I say it to encourage us as to what's possible, okay? And I believe that there'll come a time when, if another pandemic arises, we gather together in these ways, in a large gathering of the ecclesia, and we actually declare the end to that virus or that bacteria, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, and it just dies, okay? I believe that that's absolutely possible once we are moving toward and actually functioning in that sort of larger regional gathering of the ecclesia. The next area that the Lord showed me has to do with preparation for increase. And this actually comes out of Acts chapter 6, when the widows and whatnot were not being cared for because there was just a lot going on and the apostles couldn't do it. Well, they set up a program where they appointed another group of ministers that we now call deacons, but it's just people who were given a job to do, right? And they took care of that particular job. So what's the Lord talking about here? Well, when they did that, when they put something in place to meet the real physical needs of people who were needy at that time, look what it says, right? It says that the word of God kept on spreading and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith, all as a result of meeting practical needs in people's lives. And so God is wanting for the church again to become the solution. We have looked to the government to be the provider for people's needs. And while it can do, you know, some aspect of that, and, you know, maybe there is definitely benefits from that, it's not anything the same as real personal ministry that only the church can do. If you've ever tried to deal with the federal bureaucracy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's almost impossible to get a real person on the phone if you have a question or a problem that you need help with. Well, that's not how it works in the church. You see, we're all over. We're infiltrated all over. At least that's what's in view here that the Lord is saying. I'm going to make sure that you are connected where you need to be connected so that you can be the solution. My church can be the solution to the needs of people, okay? The final goal, the final area in which the Lord is wanting to really accelerate His presence and His purposes, of course, is establishing in greater ways His kingdom here on the earth. And that was initially pictured in Acts chapter 13, when in Antioch, it says they were ministering to the Lord. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." This is an apostolic function that God is going to bring into practice on an even greater level than we see now, where as we gather together, the Lord begins to call out certain ones and say, "I've given you an assignment, I've given you an assignment, I've given you an assignment." And those who have been given the assignments are prayed over and released into what they've been called to. When this happened in Antioch, we witness in the book of Acts one of the greatest missionary outreach that perhaps the world has ever seen. You know, you basically in that first century regional church, they were able to hear from the Lord and governmentally set apart and release people into destiny. And I believe that that's one of the things that He wants to do through the church on an even greater scale so that His kingdom can be established and expanded in even greater ways. So big picture, all of which, you know, looks like us learning how to be the new wineskin and then coming together in greater and bigger ways so that our authority and our influence is multiplied exponentially. Okay. So I want you to begin to see this. I want you to get a vision for this because this is what's in the Word of God. He showed this to me as something that He's wanting to do. And honestly, all it takes is our cooperation. Our cooperation. You know, back in that time, I was really receiving a lot from Chuck Pierce, who is a fairly well-known prophet around the world. He's based in Texas, Glory of Zion Ministries. And in 2006, he was here in New Jersey. And I'm going to share this with you because I'm in New Jersey, and many of you also are in New Jersey. If you're not, you can receive whatever you need to from this word. But this is the word of the Lord that he released over New Jersey back in 2006. All right. So what are we talking about? 14 years ago. It says, the Lord would say, I brought you to this place tonight. This was in a gathering because I'm recentering my purpose in this state. I am beginning to put in the place where in the past, my spirit has visited. So I have centered you here in the midst of past visitations, so I can begin to come down and visit you again. I say to this state, there are many winds and rains and hurricanes that will come near your border. Oh boy, did that ever come to pass. But it will be heard that it is my wind that is blowing in New Jersey. It will be heard that in the Garden State, that once again, I am walking in the midst of the cool of this garden. That just blew my mind. Jersey's the Garden State, right? Well, how about we get to be the manifestation of that intimacy here where the Lord walks in this garden? I will begin to judge that which needs to be judged. That's what we would do with him as the ecclesia. I'm raising you up with a sound and a worship ability that will begin to cause the visitations of the past to be uncapped and mingled with the visitation of the future. I'm creating crossroads from north to south, east to west, and I say, I will begin to cut this state like a pie and begin to serve the fruit of this state, and many will come to eat, says the Lord. So that, you know, is a beautiful, beautiful picture of something that the Lord declared over us that has yet to be fulfilled. It has yet to be fully fulfilled. So how about those of us that are on track with what the Lord is showing us now and are committing to shift into the new wineskin in whatever ways that he leads us? I'm not telling you what to do, and I would never presume to do that, because that's not my job. My job is simply to alert you, to awaken you to what the Lord is saying so that you can hear from him personally and basically carry out whatever he shows you to do. So as we embrace this, as we shift with him into the new wineskin, I believe that there's going to come this larger gathering that we'll see initiated. And on a regular basis, we will be experiencing levels of his presence and his authority and power that have yet to be seen. Okay? So get excited, get ready, get committed to just follow him in whatever he wants. And let's see. Let's see. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be very amazing.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.